The Hard Shoulder on News Talk.
With the all-new Nissan Juke. The coupe crossover by Nissan. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
Do you sometimes say one thing but mean another? I think all of us do at some stage or another. But we're going to focus particularly here on the subject of racism. When you're asked any questions about that, do you say what you think you should say or say what you think the person wants to hear, but never ever really reveal how you feel? New research today from the ESRI and the Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission found that when it comes to minority groups in Ireland, people often say one thing openly but actually think something quite different. People were asked about their views on black or Muslim people coming into Ireland, and while people were more likely to be supportive of the former, i.e. black, especially when they had to make their support public, that was not the case for Muslims, as people were less receptive to Muslims coming to Ireland, both privately but also publicly. Joining me now to discuss this is Aminola Desande, who's the head of Study of Religions and Senior Lecturer in Contemporary Islam at UCC. Good afternoon, Aminola. Always nice to talk to you. Were you surprised by this?
To be honest, I'm not really surprised. I kind of felt that this was inevitable. And as I'm kind of trying to process and trying to make sense of how this comes about, I think what we need to try to do is get to the root of the problem. How do we get to this? How do people have ideas about the other? Like, how do people get an idea about Muslims? How do people get an idea about Islam? And the way I think about it is, I wonder whether we've been fed so many things that they're now embedded in our psyche. That when somebody says, you know, like, it's like when you say a word to somebody, what do you connect to it? So when I say to you Islam, or when I say to you Muslims, what do you think about? And I ask my students this all the time, and, you know, it varies. I think a lot of students want to be nice and they'll come up with nice stuff. But sometimes some students will say, well, I think about terrorism, I think about jihad, I think about ISIS, I think about the, you know, 9/11. And all of that, I think what has happened is it's stuck. It's sitting in our head. And I'm not saying that to say we need to go to a complete opposite end and say Islam is a religion of peace. But I wonder whether what we need is to see a much bigger picture rather than just, you know, these kind of very clear binary ideas that I think are just not helpful to anybody.
Yeah, I on a personal level, I wasn't at all surprised by this. I have said it publicly, but also privately felt for a very long time that the Irish are, if not racist, because we're an island nation, because our borders are defined by the shore and the sea, we have what is known in Irish literary history as a Thelonic mentality, which is anybody from outside the island is viewed with suspicion. Anybody who's radically different from us from outside the island is viewed with even more suspicion. But what surprises me about this is that we would be more welcoming of black people. Now, obviously, Black Lives Matter and what's going on in the States has got a lot of traction and a lot of sympathy. But if you look at the overall scheme of things, when you look at what is done to Muslims in Syria, in Palestine, in sub-Saharan Africa, in Yemen, etc., it way outweighs. And, you know, it's not a competition here, right? But the amount of suffering, deprivation, death, hardship that Muslim people in general, in all forms, have gone through far outweighs and is far more deserving of sympathy. So the idea that we would be less welcoming of Muslims rather than black people is quite extraordinary. Why? Can you explain that?
I really think it's the way that we're constantly fed. We're in a different world. I don't want to make it exceptional, but, you know, we live in a world where you know, it's the world of Twitter. The youth are Instagram and, you know, social media, and it's pictures, and what kind of pictures actually just gel into our mind. You know, what I found really interesting as I was reading this about this research was that there are actually black Muslims. You know, and it's as if what we've done is we compartmentalize whole communities and entire identity to say, well, that's a Muslim there and that's a black person there. But actually what's happening is we have all this crossover, you know, and it's just, I think the problem is that we're it's a shame that we're not being able to really understand the lived kind of realities. You know, when I talk to my students, I often hear, I'm getting used to the, you know, my students and, you know, people that I speak to, they say, oh, but you don't really sound like a normal Muslim. I mean, you've got a Scottish accent, you know, you say your parents are Pakistani and you're from Scotland. And I'm like, that's the problem. The problem is that we've actually put individuals into boxes. But if it was just an idea, if it was just thoughts, that would be fine. But the problem is that they have a real life impact, because I think it will inevitably affect, you know, the way in which you know, we interact socially with one another.
Mm. Well, one of the just to take the first paragraph of this report, new research published today reveals the gap between what people say in public about their attitudes to minorities in Ireland and what they say when afforded anonymity. Quite different. Mm-hmm. This, when you drill down into it, means that these people know that their personal view is not necessarily right, it's not necessarily fair, or is in a minority. But they are not going to change their minds, they're just going to keep that to themselves. Now, if that's an underlying attitude, how do you change that? When they won't even acknowledge it, or if they do acknowledge it, they go, well, I'm going to believe this whether you like it or not, I'm just not going to talk about it and keep my head down.
Yeah. You know, and that's actually quite scary, because I think what it is, you know, prejudices and phobias, whether it be Islamophobia or homophobia, any type of discrimination, I think they all still exist. You know, they're still there. I think what's happened is we found more sophisticated ways of disguising them. We found more, you know, colourful ways of being, you know, and I think there was a comment from somebody from the IHREC who said, it talks about the subtle, covert, coded forms of prejudice. That scares me, because it makes me think that, what does that mean? Are people actually, you know, not willing to say things in public, can hold all these ideas, but they do it privately? And does privately then mean that's why we're seeing so many kind of trolls, or whatever we want to call them, on social media, you know, all this kind of stuff that goes around? And I don't know, and I just think there has to be a way out of this. There has to be a way of... And again, I know what you've just said, that, you know, Muslims are deserving of sympathy. But I wonder what we need is... I've always said, let's not look at Muslims as just peaceful, but let's also not look at Muslims just as, you know, those who conduct terror. Let's look at them in that widest picture to say, there are good Muslims and there are bad Muslims, but let's not just, you know, arrive at one conclusion. And I think maybe I'm just expecting too much from people.
Maybe indeed you are. I've always found you're much better off expecting less from people. That way you're surprised when they don't disappoint you. You're listening to News Talk. It's 14 minutes past four. It's Mark Hagney. I'm talking to Amanola Desunde, who is the Head of Study of Religions and Senior Lecturer in Contemporary Islam in UCC. We're talking about a report from the SRI and the Irish Human Rights Equality Commission that found that when it actually comes to minority groups, that we very often don't tell the truth about how we really feel. Another worrying piece of information that came out in this research, Amanola, is it suggests that better educated people are not necessarily less uncomfortable than others when it comes to minorities, but they're better at concealing their true feelings. Now, that's the old, you know, we'll say one thing in public and feel another thing in private. But what bothers me about that is that you automatically assume that if somebody is better educated, better informed, has, you know, taken the time and trouble to expand their worldview, they would be less likely to hold these views. Mm. But in actual fact, no.
No. Well, I'm really not surprised at that, because remember, I'm in the business of academia, where I know, I read, I interact with individuals who have all these wonderful titles, and you have different layers or levels of sophisticated ways of disguising your prejudice towards the other. You just do it, you know, whether we call it an unconscious bias or whatever, we disguise it in a way, and, you know, we immediately make up an assumption based on, I mean, even at the level of making an assumption on somebody's name, You know, I've said to people, I say, you know, I wonder when I actually have applied for jobs, because my second name is Desonde, people think, oh, he must be kind of Portuguese or something. And I laugh at this, and friends have laughed at this, but I often think, what would happen if my name was Mohammed or something that was kind of, because immediately there's something in our brain that makes us think that there's something, you know, that's somebody, that's a very Muslim sounding name. And it's just, you know, like, I think all of this is very, very complicated. But the good thing I think that's happening right now in Ireland is we're having the discussion. Let's have the discussion, because I'd like to think that we're all on the same page where we want to get on, we want to, you know, build bridges. Let's have a difficult conversation. But I think we also have to think about constructing something that's going to be helpful, that's going to bring us together. I mean, there's always going to be people who are, you know, the haters going to hate, as you know, the young say.
Well, just to give you a little taste of the reaction we've had almost instantaneously. Okay. These are texts that have just come in. And what about the absolute intolerance of Muslims for other beliefs? I lived in the Middle East and have absolutely no desire to have our culture and society diluted. And by the way, there's a lot of others that are stronger than that.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. I think the problem is about going from one extreme to the other, to making, you know, to making Muslims to be all out there. They're ready to kill you. They're ready to, you know, do all these things to you, to the opposite end where you think, oh, Muslims are the most peaceful person, because I know that my students will say to me, oh, but we've got a smiling Scottish guy who teaches us Islam and he says he's a Muslim. I think the problem is we need to be a little bit more measured. I mean, seriously, you know, not all Muslims are alike, just as not all Christians or Jews or Hindus or Buddhists are alike. And I think that's the problem that it is. We're not, you know, dwelling or getting into the nuance, getting into the kind of many, many different layers. But I'm really not surprised, because, you know, this is what we've to an extent been fed for a very long time, especially when it comes to Islam and Muslims. And I really worry for, you know, your average Muslim. I'm not an average Muslim. I live a very privileged life. You know, I'm protected by a university system. I worry about those Muslims in direct provision. I worry for those Muslims who are in, you know, asylum seekers and refugees, who maybe don't have the platform to come and have this conversation with you. How do they deal with this? How are they dealing with that? That really worries me. So there's a real life impact about what we say and how we act, you know? That's something that we should all be thinking about to make Ireland prosperous and make it a place for us all, you know?
Oh, okay. Well, look, we're not going to solve it here, Aminullah, but possibly we've opened a door into that conversation for some people. Thank you very much indeed. You're listening to News Talk. We will be back very shortly, and when we do that, we're going to take a whip around the world, literally. We're going to Australia, Brazil, Europe, among other places, to see how they're getting on with COVID.